We turn again to the Word of God for our second reading and for the ministry of God's Word, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I invite you to turn with me to that chapter. We shall read the chapter from verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let us hear the Word of God. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy feet swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments and statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Amen. May God add his blessing from the reading of his precious word of truth. And it is this portion of God's word that I would like to consider this evening. Our text is Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2, and I must say I can't think of any better word, really, to begin a new year. I must confess this is a completely new message prepared for this occasion, and when I was preparing it, for some reason I was thinking it was the first Sunday of the year, but that was last Lord's Day. It's the 8th of January today, but it doesn't really matter. It's almost the beginning of the year. We're only a week into it, so there's no reason why I shouldn't be preaching this message. And so it's a word that the Lord has very much laid on my heart over these last few days. And it's there in verse 2, Deuteronomy 8 verse 2, "And you shall remember that the Lord your God has led you all the way." Those are the words that I want us to be thinking about this morning. Now, many of you know from the study of God's Word that Deuteronomy is primarily a book of remembrance, written by Moses, of course, during the last 2 months of his life, directed by God, the Holy Spirit, of course. And the great purpose of this book was to remind the Israelites about the great things of the past, about what the Lord had done for them, how he had led them. Many years had gone by. In fact, 4 decades had gone by the time Moses begins to write this book. And here he calls them to remember the goodness of God, to remember what the Lord had done for them since they left the house of bondage to this present time, where they were now on the borders of the land of promise. And I'm sure that Moses' intention at the end of the day was to stir up the people to gratitude and to thankfulness and bring them to this place of renewed consecration. Because unfortunately, of course, some of the camp of Israel had turned their backs upon God and they had forgotten him. But by this renewed call of Moses to remember and to give thanks, it kept God ever before them as their guide, as their standard. And they could look back and rejoice, not only to the days of blessing that were past, but that they could also look forward also to the glorious golden years that were ahead of them in the promised land that they were about to enter if they kept the Lord ever before them. And I think what Israel was about to do, every Christian should do as well, particularly at this time of the year. We should remember, we should look back, we should take stock, we should look back and remember how the Lord has led us, and we should look forward to in confidence. And not only as individuals, but as the people of God, as a church, as a congregation, we should look back and remember and mark the milestones in our history and reflect upon God's kindness to us over the last 12 months. And as we do that, looking to the future, contemplating the glorious future that is to come according to God's promises if we follow him. And so we come to this lovely verse, Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 2. And I want you to notice 3 things about the children of Israel. First of all, we see the pathway by which they were led. The text says, "You shall remember all the way these 40 years in the wilderness." Now, it certainly hadn't been an easy pathway getting to the land of promise, because as we study their wanderings, we see, first of all, it was a way with great difficulties. The Lord did not bring them straight to Canaan by any means. And their wilderness wanderings, they were not short. They were long and they were tough. I think they had 42 stops during their 40 years in the wilderness. And of course, therefore, they were always on the move, always picking up camp, always taking down camp, putting it up, setting it up, moving camp, and it was jolly hard work. And when we consider the various terrains that they had to cross, you know, they weren't always in the valley, they weren't always in the plain. Sometimes they had to cross hills and mountains. And this arduous journey and through this barren wilderness that they passed through, it must have gotten to them on many occasions and worn them down. It wasn't easy. It wasn't a delightful journey by any means. It was a way of great difficulties. It was also a way of great discouragements. And this is seen right from the very start of their pilgrimage, isn't it? From the very beginning, as soon as they leave Egypt, there were trials to be faced. It wasn't the way that they would have had it. They would have much rather have had it easy and plain sailing. But from the very beginning, the Israelites, they faced trials and discouragements after crossing the Red Sea. They journeyed 3 days into the wilderness only to find no water. And then they came to a place called Marah, and there was water, but they couldn't drink it because it was bitter. They suffered thirst. According to verse 3 here, we find that they suffered hunger as well. And in another scripture we read, the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. It was a way of difficulties. It was a way of discouragements. It was a way of dangers as well. Drop down to verse 15 here. It speaks about fiery serpents and scorpions. When anybody was bitten by a fiery serpent, it injected their poisonous venom into the system, and it would make the body feel as if it was on fire, hence the word fiery serpent. And it was deadly, and the sting of a scorpion's tail could be equally as dangerous as well. It would bring great torment, and so there was these physical dangers that the people had to face, natural dangers, if you like. But not only did they face dangers from the animal world, they faced dangers from the human world as well. First out to oppose them, of course, was, after the Exodus, was that wicked nation known as Amalek. And the way that they attacked and assaulted Israel from behind should never be forgotten, said Moses. In Deuteronomy 25 we read, "Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked you at the rear, and all the stragglers at the rear when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God." Oh, how calculated all that was, and callous and cruel and godless. For Amalek did not fear the Lord. And Moses said, remember that. And don't you ever forget it. Don't forget the dangers that you have been through at the hands of men and of nations. A way of difficulties, discouragements, dangers. It was a way of deaths as well. The entire first generation of the Israelites that came out of Egypt, they never made it to the promised land. They died in the wilderness. The only ones of the first generation to make it, apart from Joshua and Caleb, of course, were the infants. And they didn't know their right hand from their left when they left Egypt. Not even Moses, their leader, got through to the land of promise. And therefore, day after day, and month after month, and year after year, and decade after decade, there were funerals, and there were buryings, and there were broken hearts, and there was sorrow, and there was mourning. Right throughout these wilderness years. And to keep the days going, it was also a way of delight. It wasn't always hard going. It wasn't always hard graft. It wasn't as if the Lord had forsaken them and given them up to a hard time all the time. Not at all. There were times of delight. And God was with them, whether they recognized it or not. As we see here in verse 3, the Lord sent them manna. He sustained them with a food that neither they nor any generation before them had ever seen before, because it was from heaven. This manna just fell on their campsite. Bread from heaven. And the Lord met their need with this food. He satisfied their hunger, he satisfied their thirst as well, gave them drink, water to drink from the rock. Verse 4 here tells us that their clothes did not wear out, their feet did not swell at any time during these 40 years. Surely, my dear friends, that was an amazing providence of God. That was a miraculous provision for the children of Israel. and again shows us that it wasn't all hard going. And so the people here, they're to remember. They're to remember the difficulties and the discouragements and the dangers and the deaths. But they're also to remember the delights and the pleasures and the things that God had showed them and the things that God had done for them and the favors that he had showed and the miracles that he had performed, so that they could be satisfied and refreshed, so that they could be carried the whole way through. And surely Israel's experience in many ways is a picture of our own experience. And it's a picture of every Christian's experience. And it's a picture of every church's experience, not least our own church and congregation. At this time of the year, we look back. And yes, there we remember the difficulties that we have gone through, and you particularly as a congregation with losing your dear minister. And it has been a particular challenging year, I'm sure, and you remember that. As Israel came through a period of barrenness here, 40 years of barrenness, when we look back over the past 12 months and over the years, there have been days of spiritual barrenness for us as well. The way hasn't always been easy for us. As many of us know, the Lord didn't bring us personally to the promised land as soon as we were converted, did he? Like he doesn't bring any church to a season of great blessing all at once. More often than not, there are seasons of great difficulties before any time of blessing. And as Israel had discouragements, well, I don't need to remind you that there have been times when I'm sure you as a congregation have had discouragements along the way, and I felt the weight of those discouragements, and it hasn't always been plain sailing. Perhaps there have been times when you've been having to say to the Lord, why is this happening? Why should this thing be taking place at the moment? How can we ever carry on? The difficulties are getting so great for us. The discouragements are so many. Why are we cast down? Probably we've passed through periods of danger as well. Like Israel, we haven't been befriended by everyone. We are despised by some. I trust we haven't been physically assaulted by any means. But as we go out into the town and as we meet the people, we're not liked by everybody. And particularly in these days when politically correctness is all the agenda, and as far as we're concerned, the Bible to them isn't politically correct. It's politically correct to us because God's word is true. But we have people who will despise us and who do not like us, and they do not like the gospel that we proclaim. I remember in our early years back home, I'm at home in Newcastle now, but when I always think of home as Derbyshire, because I'm a Derbyshire man. And Stanton Leas is where I was converted and brought up, and I was there for almost 50 years, as long as the church has been an independent place of worship. And I remember when the pastor called out the church to be an independent place of worship from the denominational free, from denominational ties, how the village was against the work, how the denomination that we left was against the work, and everybody was against the work of that place. I remember somebody saying to me many years ago, why do you go to that hellfire and brimstone place? That was the perception that people had in those days. Thankfully, we weren't physically abused, and I trust that nobody here has been physically attacked. But even as you have been here, you have not been loved and you have not been befriended, I'm sure, by the majority of the people around. And the Bible reminds us, doesn't it, that all those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And if we're not suffering persecution, then maybe something is wrong. We've had our deaths as well. We remember the godly men and women that we've lost over the years. I don't know whether you've lost any in the last 12 months, but certainly over the years, I remember back home, I can remember everybody really, every one of those. We've been independent 52 years, and I can remember every one of those people who have passed on, and the greatness of those men and women, the dear souls, and the mark that they left behind, the testimony that they had. Praise God, they're in a far better place right now. And I'm sure that you remember with great affection the ones that have been taken. We don't forget them. We remember those who have been called home. But we keep the balance. And we don't just remember the negative. We remember the positive as well. Moses says here that Israel was to remember all the way that the Lord had led them, not just some of the way, not just the difficulties and the discouragements and the dangers and the deaths, but the times of delight and the times of encouragement and the times of joy. It wasn't all hard going for the children of Israel. And it hasn't always been hard going for us either. We haven't been tried and tested 24 hours a day during the past year, or however long we look back. We haven't always had our backs against the wall. We remember the times of blessing. We remember the times when people were saved. We remember the times when the baptismal tank has been opened. We remember the times when God has led and God has blessed and God has provided, and we've had everything necessary to keep the doors open for the preaching of the gospel. We remember. We remember that we've been down, but God has brought us up. We remember that He has met all of our needs so richly. We remember the empty seats that have been filled and empty hearts that have been stirred and souls that have been refreshed. How the Lord has touched hearts, how sinners have been saved through the preaching of the gospel. Some people have come in over the year or couple of years and they've stayed. Some people have come and they've gone because they haven't been any help to us, any help to the atmosphere, and so the Lord has taken them. So let us remember today, as we begin this new year, all the way that God has led us. The pathway has not been difficult and hard graft all the time. And as we continue to labour and press on and make inroads for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, be encouraged by reminding yourself of those words of Paul to the Corinthians, "For our labour is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord who we serve is mighty, almighty. He is on the throne. And He is the Lord of glory. And He has good things ahead of us. Never forget it. The past, it points to better days when we shall reach the promised land as the children of Israel here. And who knows, it might be sooner than we think. And so as we review the past, let us thank God. Thank God for all that He has done, particularly in the last 12 months. We used to sing a hymn, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done." First of all, the pathway. Secondly, let's look at the pilot. Who was it that led the Israelites to the promised land? Perhaps at first of all, we would automatically say, well, it was Moses. He was the leader of the people. And that is true to some extent. But of course, there was somebody else at the head of the people. Someone else who was leading and guiding Moses in order that he would guide the people in all of their wanderings, in all of their difficulties, in all of their discouragements, in all of their dangers and deaths and delights. There was somebody else. There was a divine hand, an unseen hand guarding and guiding Israel through these times of joy and sorrow. And dear Christian friends, it's the same for you and me. And to this church today, it's the same for us. There is a divine hand, an unseen hand that leads the way. We don't see that hand like we see our hand. We don't have the physical presence of Jesus with us as we know, but that's not the point. We have his Holy Spirit, and he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And God's unseen hand was leading Israel providentially right from the beginning of their journey. He brought them out of Egypt. It wasn't by chance. There's no such thing as chance, my dear friends, or bad luck. That's the world's talk. We do not talk like that. Our ways are ordered by the Lord. And, well, we wouldn't want them anywhere else. Wouldn't want it any other way, would we? And so God led the Israelites, not by the way of the Philistines, even though that was nearer, but by the way of the wilderness and the Red Sea. That wasn't the way that they would have chosen. They would have taken a far easier road. They would have taken a far straighter route. But then they didn't know the worse dangers that would have been before them had they taken their route. And God therefore led them in this roundabout fashion, lest the people change their minds and return to Egypt, as we read in Exodus 17. Now, I'm sure that many of the Israelites wondered and questioned the way that they were taking. But you see, it was all of God's providential leading at the end of the day. And God's providential hand is leading you and me, and it's leading our families, and it's leading our church. Sometimes we think, well, why are we doing this? Why are we doing it this way? Why can't we take the easier route? Surely it would be much more sense to do it another way. But then we have to realize God is the pilot, and he is in control, and he has our best interests at heart, like he did here. He didn't permit the easier route. And it wasn't that he was deliberately trying to make life difficult for them. It wasn't that he was having a laugh behind their back and saying, aha, you know, you do it this way. No, not at all. The people didn't realize it at the time, but all things were working together for good. And that's our promise in Christ as a church, my friends. All things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We might have many problems and difficulties along the way, but we would have far greater problems if we take our own way. And so as we remember the past tonight, and as we think about the future, God says, trust me. Trust me. Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He led the people providentially, overruling all of their circumstances, and he will lead us providentially as well as we trust in him. Not only did he lead them providentially, he led them personally. And again, that was true right from the start, for God himself was there amongst them. Back in Exodus 13, we read these words, verse 21, and the Lord went before them, the Lord himself, that is, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could go by day and night. Every day, every night, the Lord was leading them personally, as well as providentially. Who was it that led them through the Red Sea? It was the Lord. The Lord made the sea like dry land. He steeped the waters up on either side so that they could pass through. And after they were through, the waters returned. And of course, the Egyptians who were following on behind, they were drowned. And so as we read in Exodus 14:30, the Lord saved Israel that day. He, the Lord, was with them when they went into the Red Sea. He was with them when they went through the Red Sea. He was with them as they came out of the Red Sea. He was constantly guarding their backs the whole time through. And when they came to Marah, the water was bitter and they couldn't drink it. How was the situation remedied? It was remedied because the Lord was there personally. We read the Lord showed Moses a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet again. It was the Lord. The Lord was there personally with his people. We read in our text, don't we? It says, the Lord your God has led you all the way. We have a combination there of two great names. First of all, the name Lord. That's an expression of the character and person of God. We have texts in the Bible that say the Lord is our rock, the Lord is our fortress, the Lord is our shepherd, the Lord is our king, the Lord is our light and our salvation. The Lord, the covenant God. And the name God, in English it stands for the Hebrew word Elohim, which means the creator God. In the very first name, it is used of God in the Hebrew text in the Old Testament. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. And therefore we can say that the children of Israel were being led personally by Jehovah, by Elohim, by the covenant God, by the creator God, by the God of mercy, by the God of grace, by the God of omnipotence. He was personally leading them all the way. And we thank God tonight that the same Lord is with us personally as well. He is not the God who is far away. In fact, Jeremiah 23 tells us he is a God who is near at hand, no more than a prayer away. And he is in our midst right now. And over the past 12 months, he has been in our midst on every occasion as you have been meeting together in this place. We have felt his presence as he has drawn close to us in our meetings, just like he is in our presence right now. The Lord is with us personally. We are being led by him. He is at the head. How wonderful it is that we're not being led by men. We have a pilot. And no matter how God leads us in the future, we know that all will be well. Because one day we too will reach the land of promise. We will come to the place of milk and honey and corn and wine. There are golden days ahead of us, my friends. Amen. Because the divine pilot is leading the way. First of all, the pathway. Secondly, the pilot. And thirdly, the purpose. Why did God lead them this way? We know that it was God that led them. He was the pilot. He was providentially and personally leading them. But why? Why did he take them this way and not so some other way? Perhaps they were saying to themselves, why couldn't he make it a bit easier for us? I'm sure that we've all said that ourselves from time to time. If we haven't said it, we've thought it. Why can't it be a bit easier? And sometimes we are perplexed by how things turn out, by the Lord's dealings with us. Of course, we don't mind when everything is going okay, do we? When the Lord is leading us through times of delight, when there is an abundance of good things, when everybody is happy with one another and the seats are full and the finances are in golden shape. Well, those are the golden days we'd hope for. We are happy, not troubled. But it's not always like that. Because there are seasons of pain and hardship and difficulties and discouragements. But why? What's the purpose for all of these ups and downs? Why can't it be good all the time? Well, the Lord tells us in our text that the reason that he led Israel the way that he did. And the application for us is exactly the same, and for our church it's exactly the same as well. Verse 2, and you shall remember that the Lord your God has led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness, and here it is, to humble you, and to test you, approve you, and to know what was in your heart. So God was leading them in this roundabout way for good reason. Here it is, here is the purpose, that they might discover themselves and to know what was in their hearts. Now, we know that God knows perfectly well what is in our hearts, for he is omniscient and he knows all things. The Almighty, the all-wise God, does not need to be told about people's hearts, for he knows, and he knew what the people's hearts were like here, and he knew very well how Israel, sometimes how they were disposed towards him. But they didn't know it themselves. And it was through his leading that they get to know themselves better, that they might see their own weaknesses, that they might see their own waywardness in a clearer light. You know, self-ignorance can be a very destructive thing. If we don't know our own shortcomings, if we don't know our own failings, how can we move forward? And we are all prone to a bit of self-sufficiency at times. Nay, maybe a lot of self-sufficiency at times. The children of Israel, they may have been tempted to say, we did it ourselves. We got to the land of promise all by ourselves. We did it our own way. We did it by our knowledge. We did it by our foresight. We did it by our wisdom and by our power. Such boasting arises out of self-ignorance, and self-ignorance leads to pride, and pride is a precursor to disaster, isn't it? It comes before the fall. That's not any old proverb, it's a Bible proverb. And so God led them the way that he did, that they might know exactly who they were and what they were, so that they might know their own hearts and what they were capable of apart from the grace of God. I wonder what we've discovered about ourselves as a church this past 12 months. I'm sure that many of us have learned a great deal by the Lord's leading, and we would say that we could not have done it ourselves. It is the Lord's doing, and it is marvellous in our eyes. And to be more personal, what have we learned about ourselves? As we look back at the Lord leading his church through the times of difficulty and discouragements, when we look at our own lives, surely we have discovered things about our own personal weaknesses and about our own faults and failings, and we've been reminded about our sins and our shortcomings, that we cannot rely upon ourselves, that we do not have infallible judgment, that we don't know the future, but we need the Lord and we need his grace and we need his mercy at all times. God has led us the way that he has in order that we might discover ourselves. What a comfort it is to know that we can come boldly to the throne of grace through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, obtain mercy, find grace to help in every time of need. But not only has God has led us the way that he has to discover ourselves, but also for the sake of discipline. Now, some of the experiences of Israel here were for the sake of discipline because of sin. For example, in verse 15, Moses talks about the serpents and the scorpions, and those were sent because the people would not stop complaining. And it was a necessary chastisement, and it was a right chastisement. But in saying that, I don't want you to think that all the problems we have are because of sin. That wouldn't be right at all. But the Lord does sometimes take us down the path of chastisement, because he wants us to be disciplined and he wants us to make us better Christians. Time is going. I haven't got time really to develop any of this tonight, but you look in the Bible and you think of some of these men who were tested so much. Think of Abraham when he was tested as he took Isaac to the slaughter. Think of Job. Think of some of the great men and women of the past, how they have been tested by the Lord. And the Lord tests us, my dear friends, in this new year of 2023. It will probably be a year of testing. And he wants us to make us better Christians. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. All for our good at the end of the day. And finally, God has led us the way he has. Not to just to discover ourselves and for the sake of discipline, but also for determination, to give us determination for the future. As the Israelites remembered and reviewed the past, they could joyfully exclaim, "Hitherto hath the Lord led us." Yes, we've made it. We're on the border of the land of promise. Soon we will be entering into the land flowing with milk and honey. Our God is trustworthy. Our God is mighty to save. Our God is mighty to strengthen, mighty to supply all of our needs, mighty to bring us to better days. And that's our confidence, isn't it? Tonight, with this year, 2023, ahead of us, that our God is mighty, that our God will see us through, that our God will supply all of our needs, and that our God one day will bring us to better days as well. We remember the past, and it's good that we can. We praise God for his leading. We too say, "Hitherto hath the Lord led us." But like the children of Israel, you know, we too, we are only on the borders of the promised land. Perhaps some of us are nearer than others. Maybe we are nearer than we think ourselves. We don't know. But then if we are Christians tonight, we are all a day's march nearer home. A day's march nearer to the land of promise, where there will be none of the former things, none of these things that take up so much of our time in this life, and so much tragedy and so much pain and so much sin. None of these things. But where one day we shall be with the Lord forevermore. If you don't know the Lord tonight, you can't say that, of course. Because every day of your life is not a day's march nearer to heaven or the land of promise, but every day's march is nearer to an eternity without God and an eternity without hope. And you have none of those blessings to look forward to. It needn't be that way. You can come, you can know God today, my friend, and the blessings of his salvation, if you call on his name in repentance and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever comes to me, says Jesus, I will not turn away. Oh, that we are all the children of God tonight. And as the children of God and as members of this congregation, let us remember the past. Remember that the Lord has led us all the way. His love has not failed us one single day. And it won't fail us in the days that lie ahead either. We can look forward to the future, however long or short, with confidence in the faithfulness of God. Be still, my soul. The Lord is on our side, and he will guide us into the future. Just like he has guided us in the past. We have a great God, my dear friends. Blessed be his name. Father, we thank you again for this word. We have been reminded of your faithfulness to the children of Israel, and we have been reminded that your faithfulness to us centuries later is exactly the same. We sang earlier, "Great is thy faithfulness, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be." Oh, may we be grateful. May we be thankful for the past. But may we be obedient and consecrated to you and to your work in the days that lie ahead. We remember the work here. We thank you for it. Please keep your good hand upon it. We thank you for the past, but we trust you for all that's to come. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.